Well, thank you all for joining us today as we want to spend some time talking about the names of Jesus. It's a mini-series, a two-part series we're going to do called Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. And today's part one, and today's called Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Savior. So let's take a look at the introduction. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God sent His Word. God became incarnate. God became a man. Jesus gave up His deity to come on earth and live as a man. Not as God, but to live as a man, to live as Son of Man. For God so loved you and me that He sent Jesus to save us, that we shouldn't perish, but that we could be restored to the life that God wanted when He created Adam. Created Adam in His glorified body and the garden and this paradise of Eden. To have authority and dominion over the earth. And to populate it with His descendants who were all expected to be walking as sons and daughters of God with their own glorified bodies. But when Adam sinned, God sent Jesus. For if it were not Adam, it would have been somebody else. Somebody would have sinned sooner or later and opened up the door little by little for Satan. So God sent Jesus to come as a man, to live the way He had wanted Adam to live, perfectly obedient to the Father God. And Jesus came and did that and completed that covenant between God and man. Man, Jesus, as a representative of mankind, lived in perfect obedience to God, did not sin, no transgressions, no iniquities. He lived as a perfect man. To become that perfect Lamb of God that was foreshadowed by all the sacrifices in the Old Covenant, where they looked for, as best as they could, a perfect lamb, a perfect goat, a perfect bull, perfect first offerings. The best they could find were used to foreshadow the perfection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and He died for us so that we could be brought back into the family of God. Now He came as Jesus, as a man. He referred to Himself as Son of Man 85 times, because that was His ministry. Living as a Son of Man, living as man, using the authority given by God to mankind, which authority belonged to Adam, who passed it on to Satan. And Jesus defeated Satan, got back the authority, and gave it to you and me that we can live in that authority and dominion over the earth. That we could also be restored to that glorified body, the same kind of body Adam had. Because Jesus took all your sins, and He took the wages of all your sins. The power of sin is broken in our lives, and God wants us to live before Him as a holy people, a peculiar people. That's His desire. And Jesus paid the way for us, for that. And because Jesus had defeated Satan, all the power was vested in His name. And he gave us the power of attorney to use his name. So when we think of Jesus the Christ, referenced in the scriptures as Jesus Christ, Jesus is his name, Christ is the title. He is Jesus, the Messiah. Christ is the Messiah. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one and his anointing, came to live on earth for 33 and a half years. Living as a man. And so, he fulfilled, as a man, he fulfilled the messianic prophecies as were appropriate to Jesus being the Lamb of God. So he lived for us, and as the Lamb of God was slain, sacrificed, so that in his sacrifice he could take all our sins and all our infirmities. That in his dying and resurrection and going up to heaven, that in that process, he gained for us our entire salvation package. So when we think about Jesus and what he did for us, when we think about Jesus Christ, we should think about the salvation he purchased for us and the salvation package that goes along with it. And we should understand that because we're saved, we have an obligation to pass the gospel along to others. And we pass it along to others by telling them about Jesus Christ. And when we need to pray for them and for others, and to show signs and wonders so that people know that Jesus is alive, we do it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the authority and dominion are in his name. It's available to us in his name. So when we think of the Lamb of God, when we think of the salvation package, when we think of ministering to others, when we think of what belongs to us, that's all about Jesus Christ. So let's look at part A, okay? Jesus, our Savior. His name is Jesus. His title is Christ, the Messiah. Now, his name is Jesus doesn't sound as simple as it sounds. Yes, his name is Jesus. But what is behind that name? Well, we know that the name was given to him even before he was born. His name was known to be Jesus. Was given to him. Then he was born as a son of God. And so as a son of God, the name chosen for him was Jesus. So the name was given to him, but Hebrews 1:4 tells us that he got the name Jesus by inheritance. So not only is the name given to him, it was a name of inheritance. So there's two ways he got the name. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, Jesus humbled himself, because when God tells us to do something, then Jesus has already done it or is willing to do it. So when the Bible tells us we should esteem others greater than ourselves, Jesus has already done that. When the Bible says we should love others as we love ourselves, Jesus has already done that. He loved us so much, he gave up himself for us. He esteemed us so much that he humbled himself unto the death and the sacrifice on the cross. And because he did that, God has given them the name Jesus, which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, on earth, and below the earth. So we see Jesus got his name by a given name, by inheritance, and now by his actions of humility and sacrifice, it was bestowed upon him. Such as one confers a title and somebody's gone to college for 8-12 years to get a doctor's degree. It's conferred upon them. So you got his name, it was given, you got it by inheritance, and he got it by it being bestowed or conferred upon him. And finally, as we all know, he got it by conquest, because he defeated Satan and all of the underworld and openly made a show of them. Colossians 2:13-15. Colossians 2:13-15. He defeated the devil. We all know that. So he got his name in four different ways. We really need to get a good grasp of that. So when we say Jesus, wow, a lot of things are happening. And a lot of things happen so we can say Jesus. Not the least of which is that he gave us the permission to use it, to minister in his name. Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. It's a title. We should never pray in the name of Christ. There's no place in the scripture where it tells you to pray in the name of Christ. You pray in the name of Jesus. You pray in his name, and his name is Jesus. And he got that name in four different ways because it's very important that Jesus is his name, not Christ. So when we pray in the name of Christ, we are watering down our prayers. If they're effective, they're not very effective. Perhaps most of the time not effective. And we are contradicting the scriptures and not following the guidelines for prayer. So we pray in the name of Jesus. The difference between the name of Jesus and the title Christ is so vastly great that it's pretty amazing. One is his name got in four ways. One is the title Christ that many, many people have claimed it. And in these ending days, there are many other people who are going to claim the other Christ. And the devil has really tried to demean the name of Jesus, try to water it down, try to make it so commonplace that people don't appreciate the power in it. I mean, when was the last time you heard somebody get angry and use Christ as a curse word? They don't do that. When people are really upset and when they're not born again, they can use it to display anger. And then when believers are challenged, what are they told to do and what do they do and what brings those results? If you can't do anything else, you yell the name of Jesus. If you haven't got time to pray, you yell the name of Jesus. And when you hear the name of Jesus, it's like all heaven and earth and the underworld stops. And everybody perks up their ears. What's going on? The power is in the name, Jesus. And so, if you look at the range of reactions to the name of Jesus, at the very far left of the most demonized people, they cannot even say the name of Jesus. And people who are somewhat demonized, they will use it like a curse word to vent anger. But when the word and the name comes out of a believer, they all cower and they back off. and they are obedient. Moving along to the believers. So many churches focus on the name Christ, on the title Christ, and pray in the name of Christ, and pray in the name of the title Christ. And they talk about Christ. Christ did this, Christ did that, Christ saved me. But really, is Jesus the man who saved them? Not Christ the Anointed One. Jesus the man died for them. And as we move, going to the far right, opposite extreme from the demons, to people who are totally sold out, the closer you go in that direction, is the more people start talking about Jesus and respecting the name of Jesus. As you move from those believers who are using the name Christ, or using Christ as the name, to those believers who understand the name of Jesus and who talk about Jesus, we see more intimacy. People who use Christ as his name may love him as much as we love him, but the intimacy isn't there. They don't know him as a friend. They don't spend time talking to him. He's like the one that you revere and worship and love and adore, which is all true and good and wonderful, and we all do that. But we also understand that he's our brother. He's our friend. And where two of us are gathered, he's there with us. We understand the intimacy. And that sets us up for the intimacy of moving towards the intimacy that God wants. The intimacy of, for example, Jesus said, the Father is in me and I'm in you. Wow. Now we're starting to get into intimacy. The name of Jesus. What a difference between the name and the title. It is so amazingly different. They serve different functions. So far we're talking about salvation, your salvation package, how you got your salvation, how you minister salvation to others, how you pray for them, how you get their needs met and your needs met, how you change things in the world and do prayer. All this is about the name of Jesus, and specifically about Jesus Christ. Now, the name Christ, and in particular, Christ Jesus, that's where we live. That's where we should live. That's what we grow into. That's the future. That's not only the future, it's part two of the series. It's part two of the series. Christ Jesus. It is so different that Jesus Christ is used in the scriptures in the New Testament 189 times. Christ Jesus is only used 58 times. What a difference. But the difference is even more than the sheer number. The name, the phrase, Christ Jesus, is not referenced in the gospel. Zero. Not once in the gospel. It's mentioned in Acts once. Acts 19:4, where the Apostle Paul finds these disciples, and they didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. So he asked them, to what were you baptized? Because if they were baptized the way Jesus says, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they would know there's a Holy Ghost. They said, we don't even know about the Holy Ghost. So he explained, and it says in Acts 19:4, that they were baptized in John's baptism. And so in 19:4, the Apostle Paul said, well, John baptized unto repentance, saying that you should believe on him who should come after me, that is Christ Jesus. That's the only usage of Christ Jesus She wrote the gospel and the book of Acts. He, believe in him who's to come. Now, of course, by that time, he had come. But when you're baptized into Christ Jesus, no, that's setting you up to grow into Christ Jesus. The difference, if you will, between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, let me see if I can give you an example, a picture example. Your car has a gas tank. And the gas tank, many cars hold about 16 gallons. So the potential of the gas tank is 16 gallons. It's like your salvation package. It has a potential. That gas tank has all the gas your car will ever hold. You can never put more gas into the tank than the maximum of 16 gallons. In Jesus Christ, you have a salvation package. It's all you'll ever need. Everything that belongs to you is in that salvation package. In fact, everything that God owned, Jesus inherited it. Got it by conquest after he destroyed the devil. Was given to him. And it all belongs to you because we are joint heirs with Jesus. So here's a salvation package. It's everything that God owns, you jointly own with Jesus. That's your salvation package. God has provided everything you and I need for life and godliness, for success, to be an overcomer in this day and the next day and in every single day until he returns. We are called to be overcomers. All of it is in our salvation package. It was put there by Jesus Christ as our Savior. We got it because we accept him as Savior. And so the package belongs to us. Now, how much of that gas can you use out of the tank? Well, it depends on how much gas there is in the tank. The tank is the potential. Your salvation package is the potential. It's everything you'll ever need. How much can you take out of your salvation package? That's determined by how you live in Christ Jesus. In a sense, Christ Jesus is not filling the tank. It's all in the tank. The salvation package, everything is in your salvation package. It's all there. But when we live in Christ Jesus, it gives us access to more and more of that. It's as if, as you grow, he puts more in the tank. He's not putting more in the tank. It's already there. You just can't access it. Why can't you access it? Because when we're first born again, we know Jesus Christ. And we're living with Jesus as Savior. But Christ Jesus is living with Jesus as Lord. Christ Jesus is not Jesus the Lamb of God. Christ Jesus is not the Messiah who came to be the sacrifice. No, Christ Jesus is the Messiah in all of his anointing, in all of his power, in all of his authority, in all of his dominion, who's going to rule with a rod of iron. That's Christ Jesus. So when we live with Jesus as Savior, we're living in Jesus Christ and what he did for us. When we minister others, we minister through Jesus Christ because all the power is in the name Jesus. But when we want to access our inheritance more, when we want to live more in the blessings and the nobility of the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then we need to live not in Jesus Christ, but in Christ Jesus. I'll give you some examples of what I mean. In Jesus Christ, because you have his name, he says, in my name, these signs shall follow believers. In my name, you shall speak with new tongues, you shall cast out demons, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In his name, you can work miracles, signs, and wonders. In his name, the name of Jesus Christ, you can raise the dead. In his name, you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus Christ, the title, is for you to be born again, have your salvation package, and to use it to minister to others. In other words, Jesus Christ is always pointing to others. So in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you would expect to see more references to Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. The Gospels are talking about Jesus living on earth as the Lamb of God. So you'll see more reference to Jesus, more references to Jesus Christ. But once you get into the epistles, you'll see more of Christ Jesus. That's where Christ Jesus is used, not in the Gospels, in the epistles, telling you, explaining to you what your inheritance is, how you get it by living in Christ Jesus. So if you look under part B here, you see that Jesus Christ, the phrase Jesus Christ, is used in the Gospels 5 times. In Acts 16, because, you know, talking about the miracles and things that are happening, telling people how to get saved, demonstrating it, Jesus Christ is used 16 times. And short epistles, 168 times. He is our Savior. And that's the starting point. Big number. Christ Jesus is not used at all in the Gospels, because he doesn't show up there in the Gospels. Where he shows up is when the epistles start teaching us how to grow up in Christ into the fullness of our salvation package. We started off feeding on milk. I mean, the first milk is God loved you and sent Jesus to die for you. Get saved. That's milk. Powerful, wonderful, amazing. That's one thing. Gets us saved. We move from death, from the family of the devil, into the family of God. We book our reservations from heaven. We have all the salvation package. And all that is milk. I mean, you understand how awesome God is? That all that is milk? Because when you know that, you don't know anything. Somebody can get born again, and all they know is, God loves you, Jesus died for you, ask him into your heart and be your Savior. And you believe it, you're saved. And you know nothing. But we're supposed to grow from milk to meat, to strong meat. That progression is growing and living in Christ Jesus. That progression is accepting Jesus as Lord. If you always know him as Jesus as Savior, you continue to live with Jesus as Savior, you continue to live with Jesus Christ, with the potential of all that belongs to you, but you don't start to manifest it in your life. That's why people who feed on milk are always looking for somebody to pray for them, because they have not grown up into Christ Jesus to pull down from heaven that which belongs to them. They're not living in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is your Savior, and he purchased everything for you. But Christ Jesus is how you're supposed to live. You live in Christ Jesus. I'll give you an example. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore no condemnation to you who are in Christ Jesus. No, in your salvation package, you know that Jesus took all your sins. So if he took all your sins, what are you condemned about? But you may know it in your head, but you don't start to understand it and live it until you're living in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say, well, so Jesus took all my sins. Therefore, he must have taken the wages of sins, which the Bible says, yeah, he took the wages of sin. Therefore, you don't have them. Therefore, if you don't have the wages of sin, you can be alive or remain when Jesus returns, because you won't have to die, because Jesus took the wages. So you can set your eyes and being alive and remaining when Jesus returns. That's all part of what Jesus Christ purchased for you. But how do you move into it? Well, Romans 8:2 gives you a step. 8:1 says, no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. But 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you can believe 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed when we are caught up and raptured with Jesus. So Acts 19:4 is a transition point. No mention of Christ Jesus in the gospel. One mention in Acts which says, believe on him that was to come, John the Baptist saying that, to believe on him, Christ Jesus. Meaning, to believe on him and to live for him. If you believe it, we should speak it, do it, live it. That's what believe means. So we start to live in him. Acts, after all, is essentially the story of the church living in the early days of salvation and bringing others to Jesus. It's very much oriented towards Jesus Christ, but there's an introduction to Christ Jesus as you get into the epistles. Now, of course, the name Jesus is used throughout the New Testament, Gospels and Epistles. Just the one word, Jesus. And the one word, Christ, is used 532 in 532 verses throughout the Gospel, Acts, and the Epistles. Jesus is used 942 times. The words or the phrases, Jesus, Christ, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the total of all those is 1,216 verses. 1,216 verses in the New Testament. A lot of usage. So Jesus came to save us. And he came to live as a man and to die to fulfill the prophetic prophecies concerning the Messiah as a lamb, dying for us. And Jesus signified this, for example, at the Last Supper when he gave us his body and blood to eat and to drink, and did it using the Messiah cup. The cup that was reserved for the Messiah. He took up the cup and says, okay. By doing this, he says, I'm the Messiah. And he gives us the communion table. So Jesus died for us, rose from the dead, couldn't be touched when he first came back from the dead. He was not clean. Went up to heaven, presented himself to the Father, poured his blood up on the mercy seat in heaven. And that action began the age of grace. And because of that action, we now live under grace. Because of that action, we all are now born again, or can be born again for those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Can be born again, or are born again, because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, the Savior, who sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God. So, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus Christ, the phrase Jesus Christ is used only 5 times. Christ Jesus, 0 times. Let's look at the 5 times that Jesus Christ is used in the New Testament. Part C. The name Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Christ is used in 532 verses in the New Testament and 58 in the Gospels. Christ, the title Christ. In the Gospels, Christ is used 53 times by itself in the Gospels and 5 times in the phrase Jesus Christ. Never Christ Jesus. So Christ is used 5 times because there's a lot of talk about the Messiah. The Jews are always looking for the return of the Messiah, and Jesus had to come and demonstrate by his action that he was the Christ. So Christ is used a lot in the discussion of the Christ is to come, and some are saying, you're not the Christ. And of course, it was revealed to Peter and his disciples that he was the Christ. So Christ, as a singular word, is used. But since he was not functioning as the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he's not referenced as Christ Jesus, just simply as Christ. Christ the Messiah. So here are the 5 verses in the Gospels where Jesus Christ is used, the phrase Jesus Christ. They all have to do with validating who he is and his beginning. Matthew 1 verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Matthew 1 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, son of God. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of God. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You understand that where Jesus is truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ Jesus is ruling by a rod of iron, not by grace. Christ Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, not by grace. Christ Jesus is coming back not to save sinners, but to rule kings and priests. He's coming back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And in our salvation package, when we accepted Jesus Christ, we accepted the fact that we were made kings and priests. If we would only live in Christ Jesus to make it manifested in our lives. We are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. But we are seated specifically with him in Christ Jesus. You and I know that we're here on earth, but spiritually we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As we live in Christ Jesus, as opposed to living in Jesus Christ, as we live in Christ Jesus, we move into that revelation and power and authority that goes with living in Christ Jesus and being seated with him in heavenly places. People think, if I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and the devil is under my foot, how come the devil is not running from me? And that's because you're approaching the devil on the foundation that you're in Jesus Christ. You're saved by Jesus and you have an inheritance. But remember, Jesus Christ died for your sins. The authority and dominion is in Christ Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing. Christ coming first, the anointed one and his anointing. And when you live in Christ Jesus, now you can tap into all the resources in your salvation package. The gas tank has been filled up. You can pull it all out and go full speed ahead. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. People make mistakes. Heaven forbid. Sometimes they even sin. And notice I'm smiling, okay? Because if you want to know how many sins I've committed, ask my wife. She's probably counting them. The calculator broke. No, but that's when you are living on your own, so to speak. Or you're living knowing that Jesus is your Savior, but you don't know Him as Lord. And you don't know Him by living in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are as righteous as God. You're in perfectly fine standing with Him. God is not angry at you. God sees you as righteous in Christ Jesus. When you're living in Christ Jesus, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and the devil will flee from you when you realize that when you're living in Christ Jesus, you're righteous, and when you're living in Christ Jesus, He's under your foot because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we all need to go from milk to meat to strong meat. And the way we do that really is we move from seeing Jesus simply as Jesus Christ and start seeing Him as Christ Jesus. Now we pray in the name of Jesus because the power is in the name of Jesus. But we live and we act and we behave in Christ Jesus. And of course, that's the topic of part two. We live in Christ Jesus and we operate in Christ Jesus and we operate in the power of Christ Jesus. So back to part C, John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. But by Christ Jesus, you are a king, you are a priest, and you are going to rule with a rod of iron. Yeah, Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, and we are right behind Him ruling with a rod of iron. And what is that rod of iron? It's the Word of God coming out your mouth. The Word of God coming out your mouth in an age that is no longer under grace. The millennial age. The millennial age of Jesus Christ reigning on earth is not an age of grace. It's an age of obedience. And the obedience is obedience to the Word of God. And the Word of God is a rod of iron. The Word of God never changes. It is a rod of iron. John 17:3, the fifth one. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So God sent Jesus to come and save us, to die for us, to move us into the position of joint heirship with Jesus, that we own the salvation package which contains everything that God has. And that we use the name of Jesus to preach, to teach, to heal, to do miracles, to maintain law and order, to be the ambassador of heaven and earth. We do that. But the power in that salvation package, the blessings of that salvation package, that you can utilize at any one point depends on how much you're living in Christ Jesus. Remember the scriptures that say, when you're a child, the entire inheritance belongs to you. But you don't get it until you mature. Until you mature, you're under tutors. The maturing is moving from living life with Jesus as Savior, moving from living life based on Jesus Christ, and moving up into meat and strong meat where you're living with Jesus as Lord. And you're living under Christ Jesus. You're living in Christ Jesus. You're living in the anointing. You're staying in the kingdom of God, and you're living in the anointing, and you're always in Christ Jesus because you're always living for Him under the anointing. The great Jesse Duplantis says, we should live our life in such a way that the transition from earth to heaven should be hardly noticeable. That is so wonderful. That's absolutely true. But we know that we are going to be alive, remain true to the gospel, and be raptured. So our transition will not be to heaven. It will be into the millennial kingdom. Well, in the millennial kingdom, Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. Why in the world would you not want to live today as if His word today is a rod of iron? His word is a rod of iron. The only reason why His word is not functioning as a rod of iron in your life today, it really is. But the part that's functioning is you're under grace. And when you're under grace, there is no law, because Jesus took all your sins. And so there's no law you can transgress. The law you live by is the fact that you're under grace and there is no law. And if you happen to do that which would have been a sin in a previous age, like under the law of Moses, Jesus has already paid the price for that. But why would you not want to prepare yourself for the transition to the millennial kingdom, if that's where you want to go, by living today as if the word was a law? Because it is. Grace is here to help you. Grace is here as your tutor to help you to grow in Christ Jesus. Living in Christ Jesus. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the one who rules with a rod of iron. And we want to move into that place of living with Christ as a rod of iron. Not with Jesus as a Savior who took all your sins. That gave us the foundation to be able to move into Christ, the one with the rod of iron. And to live now and practice living with the Word of God as if it's a rod of iron, because it is a rod of iron. And so when we try to live and we fail, then grace bounces back up. And thank God for grace. Thank Jesus Christ for grace. Because grace is here to help us grow further and further into Christ Jesus. Further and further into tapping into the resources of our salvation package, which includes everything that God owns. Mark 11:23 said Jesus, the Lamb of God, en route to being slain for us. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. So we take the beginning and the end. Whoever shall say shall have what he says, if he doesn't doubt in his heart. Now, God is talking about good things. His children, who shall say to a mountain, be thou removed, if you don't doubt in your heart, it will come to pass. Because God's power is available for us to use to move any mountain and to change any circumstance of life. But we must believe in our heart that the Word of God is true, and that God said it, and you're believing it, so it's going to happen. And so, that's a rod of iron that we like. We say it, we believe it, we don't doubt it, and we want it to work exactly how we said it. A rod of iron. But you see, that rod of iron is part of a peer, P-E-A-R. You know, there's God's way and there's the devil's way. God's way is obedience. Everything that's not obedience is of the devil's way. Thank God, under grace, when we sin and do things the devil's way, it's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And we don't incur the consequences. But you see, Mark 11:23 is very closely related to Proverbs 18:21. And Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. What you speak can create death or life. Mark 11:23 is focusing on the life. But when you say it and don't believe it, and it's something bad, the devil is very happy to make it come to pass. You said it. The devil is a legalist. You said it. He has the right to do it. So the point of fact is, right now, each of us are living a life where our tongue directs a part of our life. And the scriptures are very big and very clear on that. In the book of James, your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. Your soul is saved by the engrafted word. Out of the abundance of the heart you speak, and out of the abundance of the heart you speak, and whatever you say will come to pass if it's coming out of the abundance of your heart, so you don't doubt it. Your tongue is guiding your life. It is already a rod of iron. So we should be very, very alert to what we say with our tongues. Thank God that when the devil tries to bring curses on us, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ became a curse for us because it's written, curses who was crucified, who hangs on a tree. So you take the curses. But if you insist on keep going back under the curses and keep doing the same thing over and over, eventually the devils get a foothold in you. So what am I saying? I'm saying that yes, we should love Mark 11:23 because we have what we say if we don't doubt. And our plan is to say only things that we want and good things and godly things. But I'm saying, you want to watch your tongue so you don't say the bad things, because the word of God is a rod of iron. And Proverbs 18:21 allow the demons to come after you when you say things you shouldn't say. Matthew 18. Verses 18 to 35 talks about forgiveness. That we have to use the words and forgive people. Forgiving involves the heart and speaking it from our heart and blessing them. Forgive them for everything they've done to us. Because if you don't forgive them, it ends in verse 35, the tormentors are loosed upon your life. Your unforgiveness loose tormentors on your life. Another example of the rod of iron. But because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we can confess the unforgiveness as a sin and get rid of it. Except, of course, unforgiveness is an ongoing sin. So the sooner you confess it, it comes back. The only way to solve unforgiveness is to forgive from your heart and bless the person. So, we are living in Jesus Christ, and we want to move into living more and more in Christ Jesus. So you all know the scriptures about Jesus Christ, so we're not going to spend much time on it. I just put some here for quick kind of reference and to show you what it was saying. Acts 15:11. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in your house and you shall be saved and your household. What a wonderful scripture. That scripture was one of the two scriptures that got 53 members of my family saved in 18 months. Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not Christ, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's what I've been saying. You're saved through Jesus Christ. You minister salvation through Jesus Christ. You heal through Jesus Christ. And you do miracles through Jesus Christ. Much of that is oriented towards others. You, in Jesus Christ, got saved. You're born again. You can be spirit-filled, have the five baptisms. But one of those baptisms is baptism into Jesus as Lord, which starts to move you into living in Christ Jesus, which we talk about in part 2. Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, does this man stand here before you as a cripple who has been healed and restored? They all know him. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not by the name of Christ Jesus. We live and change things in the name of Jesus. We have the salvation package in the name of Jesus, but we grow into the salvation package in Christ Jesus. We become more and more founded in Christ Jesus as we live more and more as Jesus as Lord. If people stay at the level of Jesus as Savior, they will see very little bit of their salvation package. Which is why so many people pray and their prayers are not answered. Because they're praying to Jesus as Savior in the name of Jesus Christ. You want to be living in Christ Jesus, and then you use the name of Jesus in authority and dominion to change and create what you want. Romans 6:3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We're baptized into his death. Part of the benefits of Jesus as Savior, we're baptized into his death. And just as he was raised from the dead, we are also raised from baptism into a newness of life. And what's that newness of life? Living in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Living in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. What is that? That's living in the power of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you had gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So all the power is there. But the power comes out to those who are living in Christ Jesus. Not to those who are simply seeing Jesus as Savior. And not to those who still see Jesus at the cross. If you're still seeing Jesus at the cross, and if that's your focus is Jesus at the cross and what he did for you, then yes, you're saved and you have the whole package. But you can't use the package until you see Jesus as a resurrection, Jesus as the resurrected Lord, Jesus as the power of his resurrection, and Jesus as Christ Jesus, in whom you're supposed to live. Not just be born again in, not just use his name to minister to others, but live in the fullness of your salvation package by living in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we are adopted as children and family by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:10, by which we are all sanctified, we're all sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all, by the offering of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, we have been sanctified, saved, sanctified, and all the wonderful blessings of our salvation package. It belongs to us. Doesn't mean you can use it. You can use a part at the beginning that children on milk can use. And as we grow, we learn some meat. But we have to live in Christ Jesus to use most of the salvation package. Hebrews 13:21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom glory be forever and ever. So Jesus Christ, by one sacrifice, has perfected everything that pertains to you and provided for you everything you need for life and godliness. He's done it all. As the Lamb of God, he died and provided for you your salvation package and everything you need for life and godliness and the means of ministering to others and doing signs and wonders and miracles to draw people to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And also to change anything and everything in the world. But the power that backs it up comes from living in Christ Jesus. Living with Jesus as Lord. More and more moving into Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Thank you very much. I believe this has been a blessing to you as it has been to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
So it's wonderful to understand more about the distinctions between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. I'm sure you're very much like me in that we've read through the scriptures many times, and maybe we've noticed that this one says Jesus Christ and that says Christ Jesus, but we never really understood, at least certainly I didn't understand before, why the differences. So this is exciting to be able to see what it's really all about. Praise God. So let's partake of communion and let's receive the body and the blood. And we go back to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one who sacrificed his life for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So let's take a moment to confess any known sins and be ready to come to the table. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for falling afresh upon us now. As we come to the table, knowing that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm sure at the time the disciples really didn't understand what was going on, but later they could look back and they could remember what he said and what he did and understand how it all fit together. And we have the luxury of having the Word of God in writing where we can read about it and know exactly what this was all about. Jesus' body broken for us. Jesus taking the 39 stripes upon his body, paying the price for all sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain for us. We need not fear COVID-19 in any of its forms, nor any other sickness, disease, infirmity, nor pain, because Jesus already covered them all, paid the price for every single one. There is nothing that Satan can attack our bodies with that Jesus has not already taken care of for us. So the price is paid. The inheritance belongs to us. Now it's up to us to receive that inheritance, receive the benefits of what Jesus did. And here's one way: through partaking of the broken body of Jesus in communion. This is a faith action plan, where there's nothing about this that the mind can explain. But we believe the Word of God to be true, and we accept it, and we receive our Jesus. We receive His body, knowing that this is now ours. So let's take this faith action plan together. Let's partake of the broken body of Jesus in our hands to receive healing, restoration, rejuvenation, and wholeness in every part of our bodies. That's what Jesus wants. So let's do it right now together in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." The old covenant needed an annual sacrifice, needed to be covered over, all the sins covered over, and then next year, here we go again. But now, Jesus said, no more. We're wiping the slate clean with my one-time sacrifice, my once-for-all. Jesus said, I'm paying the price for everything and everyone. And it's a done deal. So we accept it with this new covenant. Now, He didn't do away with the old covenant. He sealed it with His blood. But at the same time, He established this new covenant for us, for these last days, for such a time as this, where we have all the power, all the authority, all the dominion that we need in the name of Jesus, where we know our salvation in Jesus Christ, but where we can live in victory in Christ Jesus through all the means that He has given us to establish that victory, to become overcomers over every adversity and every challenge. And so we have here our cup of blessing, and it's the cup of life, for the life is in the blood. We just flood our bodies with the life of Jesus Christ, with the life of God, and fill ourselves up with the promises that just come out of us and flood out in victories, one victory after another. Thank you, Jesus. We receive of your precious cup of blessing and cup of life as we now partake together of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus.